OFC Podcast Radio.
This is deep.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Blessed, melanated, rising, beautiful people. I am so grateful to life, God our creator, and to our ancestors for creating another opportunity for us to be able to be on here this morning. And I just ask that the time that we spend, let it be very uplifting, let it be fun, but most importantly, let it be empowering to each and every one of our listeners out there as we send out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, wealth, and peace. Hotep, amen. Ashe.
Bye-bye. What's going on?
Yo, sak passe, yo.
Yo, mlawi, mbule.
Good.
I am.
I felt like there should be more. I should have been able to say more after, but didn't.
Well, that's, I kind of waited, but you know, I'll let you do. You did what you could do.
Right.
And I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you, great.
So this was a nice week. This was a nice week. It was a calm week. Shout out to Shaquem, who turned 25. So that's Crystal's son. And so we celebrated his birthday. That was really awesome. I tried this new restaurant. It's called Shea. It's in Griffintown. It's not far from me. We went for brunch. And every single thing I ingested, from the cocktails to the meal, and like the suggestions were great. Like, you know, when it's just like, actually, the whole day was kind of winning in a sense where I woke up, I got things done. I had to go buy a few things for my trip to be ready for it and all that. And then went for brunch and then walked around. I hit my 10,000 plus steps. My Apple Watch was just like bling, bling, bling all over the place.
You're doing the do today. You are slaying, girl. That's what the watch was saying.
Yeah, slaying to the gods' boots. Oh, yeah. So hit my steps, hit my workout, hit my standing up thing too, because we do sit too much in North America. Have you, can you do what they call like Asian squats? Where you kind of just squat to the ground and just like you just chill there? That's how you just sit without, like, you know?
Like, so like a squat, but you just hold the squat in squat position.
Yeah, but like it's like full squat. Like, your bum's not touching the ground, but it basically, it's practically right there. But like, you know, instead of sitting on a chair, you kind of just, you know, pull into a squat down low. And
I could probably do it, definitely, maybe.
Okay, maybe, what are you saying? Probably? Okay.
Maybe probably, after definitely, a couple of drinks and stretching. What?
You know, you said, I could definitely, probably, maybe do it. You went through all the motions.
You caught all that, Gina? You're paying
attention? Yeah, yeah.
No, I heard all of it. What's the point? Where are we going with this?
I'm just saying, I mean, because there's things that we did, and like, when you look at kids do it all the time, and they do it with ease. Something happens to your knees when you don't. You know, it's kind of one of those, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
If you don't keep your knees oiled up, you're going to lose what you used to be able to do is not necessarily what you can do today if you haven't done it in a long time. That was like a few years back where I was like, oh, yeah, I can split. I used to split all the time. I tried. I was like, oh, my God, no, I can't.
OMG. Yeah, no, you don't have it. It actually, I was going to talk about it when it's my turn, but it's kind of like me thinking that I'm super fast and losing a race to Huey this past vacation. I think. Like, it's really, it's kind of like a lot. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that, where it's like, you have to call the man and be like, guys, and next one down, my son just beat me in a foot race still. That I was trying real hard.
And when you break in sweats, because you know, when they're younger, you're just like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And yeah, you're almost like skipping away. And this time you're just very like, you could feel the wind.
I was clutching for the air. I was hoping the air gods would have lifted me up, Avatar style. Didn't come true that time. I guess I didn't prime it enough in ahead of time. Did put out
And
the intention. I didn't think I needed to put out the intention, actually. I thought I still had it, and then but next time I know I need to prep that, put out
but
the
like,
intention
let's
anyway.
take it in though. Huey's a high school graduate. He
Yeah.
plays sports. He also trains when he can with like Uncle Marlon, who will just
Yo,
like
what do you mean when
speak.
he can? Huey trains every single day. Okay? Huey does
With
not
Uncle
train when
Marlon?
he can. On his own and with Uncle
Oh
Marlon.
no,
Huey
I'm saying,
never
I know, I know,
continues.
no, obviously on his own too, as he's supposed to. I'm just saying when he can with Uncle Marlon, because it's not like y'all live close to each other.
Oh, right. True, true, true. That's what you mean. Right. He is the part, but no, they do it on Zoom. He has a whole program he follows.
Oh, yeah, the OX1
Yeah,
training.
and it is, but with Marlon, but the point is with Marlon, it is next level. When he's, shout out to the whole OX1 crew. Anybody who's looking to get in shape, reach out to us. It'll be our pleasure to support and connect you with Marlon Long, OX1. Matter of fact, just search it directly. Like, shoot, however you have to, but I definitely encourage you guys, you're looking to get fit. Definitely connect, especially if you are youth and you're playing any sports, any youth athletes out there, you want that competitive edge,
It
you're
gets
welcome.
easier.
All
Yeah,
right.
100%.
Yeah.
Because you think you're great and then you find out you're good and you can be great when you start using the OX1 to do the same things that you were doing before. And then when you have it without it, like you'll be leaping and flying high key.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just like that was that day. Had a great meal, went and got a pedicure, hung out and chilled and kicked it with my bestie. We really just talked into through the night. So I just had a really good week through and throughout. I made some really good food. I made a mod China masala, and I was just like, I don't even know if I ever need to go back to a restaurant again. Like,
Yeah. So then, okay. So let me ask, yo, because as you're talking, I'm wondering if this is just the frequency, if it's just the energy, because apparently now we're in a heat wave. The sun's at its prime. Energy is high. I'm wondering if you're just the vibe that you're on is just a reflection of just the energy, because I could tell you that I've been on that same frequency, the energy, like from the point I was able to take a. Sorry, go ahead. You want to say something?
Oh no, so I was like, if that's like to ask and for me to answer, 100%, because at the end of the day, like energy out is energy in. Like the energy you put out is the energy you return. So yeah.
Yo, that's where we're at, and it's so basically we from all last week I was able to take a staycation. We're still doing some work at the retreat, but still being able to go and spend some time and enjoy the sun out there, and experience. Like it was funny because we treated it as if we were renters, and we're like, you know what? All right, we've done all the work we have to do for today. Let's pretend we're here. On vacation. It just, I feel it just set a tone for the week. It was just the energy as things have been flowing. We also, as a family, went to Collingwood, Ontario. Are you familiar with Collingwood?
No.
Collingwood. So it's about 2 hours north, let's say, of the GTA kind of thing. And it's actually right near the largest river beach, in the freshwater river beach or whatever they're called, or yeah, freshwater beach. I don't know how you properly explain it, but the largest beach in the world apparently, which is the Wasaga Beach. Were you familiar? Were you aware of that? That in Canada there's a beach called Wasaga. Google that right
Yes.
now. I'm telling you.
No, I know Wasaga Beach.
Yeah, well, why didn't anybody ever tell me? The beach was beautiful. The thing is
Was
huge. It's
it?
like
Because I didn't know. Well, I mean, was I know Wasaga from when I used to. I actually never actually really went.
okay.
But I heard like Wasaga was like you didn't go in the water. You went there to hang out and do beach time, but it
Well, there was a
wasn't
lot of
really a
people in the
water
water.
time.
It could be because it was damn hot too, right? So get hot enough, like the water seems real. But I have to say the beach was clean, the vibe was nice, the stuff on the boardwalk was great. So overall, like it was a real like it was a great vacation, to do within Canada, so to speak. Shoot, it was driving distance, like we went, it was a couple hours. It was kind of odd how the whole situation came to being, but the point at the end of the day is that we went. So that was a fun little a fun little time. And on your like on the same balance,
Oh,
like
sorry.
it was like
I just want to say about Wasaga, because I was wondering about Wasaga, whether or not it was like a natural beach, because they'd be calling things beaches out here in Montreal that are not that.
right.
But it says Wasaga Beach is a relic beach, meaning that the sand which currently resides on the beach is the only sand the beach will ever have. The sand does not replenish itself, unlike ocean beaches. For these reasons, it's important to preserve our beaches and dunes. That's so it sounds like it's natural,
It's a
because
real beach. It's so amazing, yo. It's so am but they also say like it's like one of the longest in the world. Like, is that, am I tripping?
yeah, the longest freshwater beach. Yeah, I guess it doesn't have like real massive waves, and to be really be able to have like sand, you need a certain level of water pressure. But okay.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so that was that. And it's basically, so that was called on a personal front. On a business front, in terms of the developments and community, there's been so many awesome things. We've had a couple of sessions with members of the community. First, we do have to put out, and we'll do it at the top of the show as we're doing it right now, an official apology. The show that aired last week, there was a misunderstanding, and it was definitely not the intention of the OFC Podcast Radio, the OFC organization, or CKT for that matter. It was not our intention to play any audio that was not authorized. And in so doing, we've removed the episode from last week off of the archives, as we had not received the official consent of all of the participants. So I want to make it a point to mention that we do have a word also from our producer that we'll make sure to read off as well. But on that same note, we have had an opportunity to connect with members of the community who are concerned with the Montreal Caribbean Carnival. And I'm really happy to hear the tone of where people are and what the vibe is. And from the general consensus, it's a lot of, let's say, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call it a lot of kumbaya. And I like the vibe, to be honest. It's a lot of kumbaya and I like it, because the idea is, look, we're past a point where we feel like there's any value in battling each other in any kind of way. So whoever is wants to take lead, our objective is to support that body in taking the lead and providing whatever support that we can. Like, and just setting that example or setting that precedent, because again, at the end of the day, it's already not an easy task. And if those who see it fit want to participate, like, want to kind of put their hat in the ring, and they're willing to start the process from this early on in the game, more power to them, and we're glad to be able to support and encourage them in that as well. So that has been, that was one of the awesome things. And we also had an opportunity to have a community discussion. It was the beginning of a think tank that we hosted, and I'll be keeping the community informed on the next think tank that we're going to be hosting. But the whole point of it was to discuss social media, how it's impacting our children, how it's impacting our future, how it's impacting us as adults. And it was so amazing, Gina the Great, to hear parents, to hear adults, to hear some people who are newlyweds, sorry, not newlyweds, but with children who are as young as like 2 years old, to people with teenagers, to adults referring, like, giving their perspective in terms of what they have gone through, what they are currently going through when it comes to social media and the, like, let's just call it like the addiction of it, and the amount of time that it takes and how to navigate. It was so amazing just to hear the thoughts and the dialogue and the exchange of, just ideas. So that was another amazing thing that happened throughout the week that, again, I am encouraging anybody and everybody out there who does resonates with those kind of initiatives and is interested in getting involved, check out ofccommunity.com, or just, connect with us on all any of our platforms. The easiest is WhatsApp, 514-651-4545. So with that, Gina the Great, as you know, we are still in relationship season within the One Full Circle community. And relationship is, we talk relationships on all kind of different levels, hence why we're talking about our relationship with our children and our youth and social media. But there's also the business side of relationship, where we talk about networking, where we talk about getting to know the different business owners and how to connect with them within the community. So with that, I'm excited. We have the one and only Uncle Ken joining us again. He's going to be participating. And it's funny, actually. Shout out to Big Will. Big Will's event was this past week. It was amazing. There was a venue change, and we ended up at Suite 62. Gina the Great, first of all, I cannot tell you himself. Anybody that says they, if you didn't leave there with hurt ribs, rubbing your belly, it's because you have problems. You have the problems. Wow, yo. It was so funny. Shout out to Renzel. Shout out to the queen that we had on with us last week, Claudina. Shoot, this sister, I don't really know who she is. She's a Haitian sister, a white Haitian sister. Shout out to her. She had us busting a gut. You already know Big Norm and Mark Trinidad. Every single person that graced the stage just completely laid it down. And so it was an amazing show. So again, shout out to Big Will for always coming through these exceptional productions. So anyway, so coming back to my point, I said that just because it was awesome being able to link up with Ken yesterday. And, you know, and again, Ken, his wife, and the whole entourage, it was just good. Shout out to all the OFC members that came out and supported as usual. Again, so like I said, wheeling us back now, all this long talk. As we get ready to transition to Parlor with the People, stay tuned as we dive in with the one and only Ken Ingram.
Let's take a quick positive cause just to shout out our homegirls, Kemba and Andrea from Keen Real Estate Group. Whenever you're thinking real estate, whenever you're thinking investments, whenever you're thinking about planning for the long term, think Keen Real Estate Group. They're generating wealth for generations. KeenGroup.ca. If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of HJCourtierAuto.com. That's HJCourtierAuto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think Mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out Java Logix for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out Java Logix. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out JavaLogix.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Farrell, bigging up, mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com.
Girl, what are you cooking?
My curry chicken.
Ooh, you're burning it.
Oh, gosh, it looks so...
It's okay, girl. You need the Curry House. They have the best Caribbean food in town. Two locations in Montreal, West Island and Côte-des-Neiges. For more information, follow Caribbean Curry House MTL. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour for your 10% discount.
So, who placed in the order?
Me.
DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Parlay with the people. All right, beautiful people. Our business coach, he is here as one of our community supports, longtime OFC member, one of my own mentors, the person who has helped me to develop and establish my company and to help it to grow to the point where it is today. Ken Ingram, thank you for being a guest with us today on Parley with the People and for blessing us again on the OFC Podcast Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Farrell. Thank you for the invitation and happy Friday, all OFC members and the wonderful Melanated community.
Yes, thank you very much. And actually, wait, as people are hearing us on this podcast, today's Thursday. All right, so happy Thursday, everybody.
Oh, happy Thursday. Back it up one day.
Yeah.
In Australia or Japan.
Yeah, we're here. So that's what it is. So Ken, so as usual, before we dive in to talking the business, to talking what is new and exciting, for those who might be new to the OFC Podcast Radio or new to the OFC, and they haven't had an opportunity to connect with you just yet, can you please let the community know who you are and what you do?
My name is Kenneth Ingram. My company is called TAC, the Achievement Center. And we're basically an organization founded in 1983, and we work hard to build high-performance business owners and organizations. And we do that by teaching them the skills needed to bridge the gap between knowing what to do and doing it. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's that we fail to do it. It's, you know, going back to that adage about we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. This is what we need to do differently. We need to ramp things up on a different level in order to get the results that we want and in a timely manner. Not 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the shortest possible time possible. And that's really about learning curve.
Wow. Well said. And the thing is, people don't realize it's the time is now, people, right? If you're not living the type of life experience that you want, if you're not happy with your results that you're getting, there's no better time than the present to make a difference. I always tell people, like, you're living today your yesterday thoughts. So you change your thoughts today to impact your tomorrow, right? So now if we're in a position right now where we're not happy with what we're doing, it's to stop, take stock and say, what can we do different to impact our tomorrow? One of the first things I tell anybody in business, connect with a coach. Connect with somebody who you can bounce your ideas off of, who has the knowledge and experience. All right, guys, that's when you're hiring a coach and you're connecting with somebody, you are actually leveraging your dollars for their experience. So you're actually saving because you don't have to go through the 10 years of ups and downs that they did. You can just give them some bread and you can get that, right?
Yeah. Imagine you're an athlete and you want to win a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Would you try to do that on your own? No. You'd hire a coach, somebody to train you and coach you in how to win a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Business trainers and business coaches are much like that as well, because they're there, again, to shorten the learning curve and get you to that gold medal financial year faster than otherwise would be possible if you tried to do it on your own. And that's why a lot of businesses 20 years later are still mediocre businesses. They haven't invested in themselves. They haven't attempted to have a gold medal financial year. And if you ask most people, what would you like? I'd love a gold medal financial year. Do you know anybody who's ever achieved it? No. Well, I guess that's why.
And the next question would be like, yeah, so, and you say a gold medal financial year. A lot of times we, among some of the entrepreneurs I work with, like we ask each other, like, how much you're making? Have you cracked 100,000 yet? Have you cracked 250,000 yet? Have you cracked a 500,000 yet? And then it comes up. It's like, well, what are you doing? Like, what efforts are you putting in? What is your routine? What's your day? Like, when people are asking me, they're like, how are you getting up at 5:30 every day and starting your day and running? I'm like, well, I don't know. That's just what I do to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And so far, so good.
Early bird gets the worm.
It really does. And it's like, and the thing is, it's a small sacrifice for what you want to do. Not to mention, I tell everybody, how old am I again? I'm going to be 44 this year. I really only planning on working hard another 6 years max. Okay. So just so you guys know.
Just as a point there, I retired from my aerospace job as a test engineer at age 44.
Okay. See? So, well, good. Yeah, I'm taking that as my motivation. And the only reason I'm pushing it to 50 is because I actually really like what I do, right? So I do enjoy what I'm doing, but I'm giving it max 6 more years of hard work. And then the other balance of my life, maybe another 50 years easily, I plan on being here for at least until I'm 100 years old, is going to be traveling. I'm going to see the world, see what my wife wants to do, whatever. I'm just down, right? But just so I know. But the whole point of saying that is, my whole career, my business career started, like I have to say, did pick up a huge momentum when I hired you as our coach, when we had our record label, and it allowed us to scale, right? And now I'm grateful to have you as one of our leads and our mentors within the OFC community, because now the knowledge and the experience that I have been blessed with you are making it available to members within the community as well.
Yeah, and I'd say that not only you, but everyone else who was part of that program, as I recall, there was about five people in the program, every single one of them, and their OFC members have gone on to run their own individual business very successfully because of what I taught them. Yeah. So it's something I'm very, very proud of. I'm very proud of that opportunity that you gave me to work with you and the team. And everybody's using those skills that I taught them way back when.
Yeah, so it's huge. So now we're talking, we have an initiative coming up, right? It's the OFC meet and greet, okay? And this is something that it's a tried and tested and proven process that people underestimate. The opportunity to connect with individuals, right? People underestimate the value of connections. Now, you're in business in life. The whole purpose of you in being in business is to connect with other individuals, potential clients, potential leads, potential promoters, right? That's why you're connecting in business. But even on a social side, there's always a value in meeting new people because you never know. You could be hosting an event. You're trying to do something. You're looking for a tutor. For your child, somebody's hurt, you're looking for a nurse, whatever it is, there's always a value in connecting with people. So now, and that was something, again, that you had taught, right?
Because it's the balance.
Exactly.
Personally and professionally, it's that balance.
Now, when you are making these connections, a lot of times the hardest things is to be able to make these connections. One is finding the people to meet. And then you don't want to come across like a weirdo and just be like, you know, just cold calling people or whatever the case. So it is good to be able to have that bridge. Now, the OFC Meet and Greet initiative is a very simple initiative, but it allows members to meet one new OFC member every week. Right? Very simple.
Very simple.
And
it's again, not rocket science, but we make it rocket science.
We make it way more complicated than it needs to be. Right? But again, because we're so adamant, and you and I have gone into length about how we want to see the community thrive, how we want to see the community level up. And one of the things we said, you know what, if we could create more access to opportunities, if we could create more bridges within the community, that would help people to scale. Because again, it's not about who you know, it's about who knows you. And it's about when it's time, can you pick up your phone and call that person? Can you call the owner of this company? Can you call the founder of that company? Can you, you know, and can they call you when needed, you know? And so this is what we're forging within the community. But what is another thing that I think is going to be huge is that you're here to help coach everybody. So when you received your contact within the community and you have to figure out, like, you have to break the ice, the members are able to connect with you to ask, like, okay, I have this call coming up. What is the best way to break the ice? What are some good questions that we should ask? But Ken, if you could just take a moment just to dive in a little bit on the value of building relationships and the importance of knowing how to network, if you don't mind.
The interesting thing is some of us are drivers, some of us are supporters, some of us are analytical. We're typically made up of four different types of characters. We have a dominant side. And quite often we say, why can't I connect with that person? Well, maybe because that person's a driver and you're not talking their language. Maybe that person's analytical and you're not talking their language. So you're having trouble to connect. Even in a family, you know, we go to a family party and there's some people in our family we just don't like. But the reality is maybe it's not that we don't like them. We don't know how to connect with them. And that's what building and communication and relationships is all about. It's taking the time to understand the person. And I have some very good friends that I've met in business that I initially thought I could never do business with this person. And I forced myself and they forced themselves to take the time to get to know me and me to get to know them. And I'm telling you, they've become some of my best friends. And that's it. And we often don't realize that in many cases, it's just a communication problem.
You see, and that's why for me, this is so important, especially during relationship season within the OFC, because when we talk relationships, it's not just, you know, within couples, husband and wife, or relationships between parents and their children and whatnot, we're talking business relationships as well. We're talking how like just the value of knowing how to build that rapport with a person. And you just said it, that you met some people in business that became your friend, right? And I think that is an ideal where you want to get to, where you understand that differentiation between when you're doing business with a person you like, you trust and respect, aside from just doing, you know, you're just doing what you have to do with a person that you don't really like, just because you got to get it done.
I'm friends with my lawyer. Mm-hmm. I've been to his house. I know his wife. I'm friends with my dentist, my dental surgeon, and his wife. I'm friends with them. I'm mm-hmm. friends with my accountant and his wife. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with a lot of people in business. And somebody said to me once, oh, you're friends with your lawyer, your dentist, your accountant. Yeah, you don't have normal friends, Ken. And I said, well, what makes a normal friend?
Mm-hmm.
These people get up in the morning. They put their pants on or a dress or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They make breakfast. They get ready for work. They're normal people. Why can't you be friends with them? Why aren't you friends with your banker? I'm friends with my banker.
Mm-hmm. And which you should be. But
which
you
should be. But people don't look at it this way.
No.
They don't take the time to get to know people. I do. And some of these people are the most important people in your life.
Like the number one, two, three rule in business that you taught us that I and I'm sorry, Ken, I'll tell you right now, the course that you give is not a cheap course, but I've been giving away all kind of free nuggets to people. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. So just so you know, but I've been telling people the number one, number two, number three rule in business is people will do business with people they like, they trust, and they respect. Right. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that and you adopt that philosophy, it's a game changer for you. And I take it from me. I run one of the largest community networks in North America. And my whole reason for being is to establish these relationships and establish these bonds. And it is to empower us as a community, because it's not just about who you know, it's about who knows you. So yes, you want to be friends with your bankers. It's so funny because the world has there's this weird perception that business is done a certain way, where it's that you have to go to an office in a suit, shake hands, sit behind a desk, and do business. And the reality of people who know it, some of the biggest deals are signed on the golf course or gone for dinner. You're taking a drive. We're driving to Toronto. We're discussing something back and forth. We sign a $500,000 deal, but by the time we get back, like these are things that are happening because you're establishing real relationship. And this is what we are trying to get the community to understand, trying to create opportunities for helping you all. And it's not just helping you guys for the now, it's helping you and your future, because these relationships that you're making now is to help to, you know, to help secure your bridges and to help open doors for you and your children coming up. So I'm excited, Ken. I think this is going to be a fun initiative.
Absolutely. It's all, at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. A lot of times you say, how can I get the slight edge over my competitors?
Mm-hmm.
Build a relationship with somebody.
Exactly.
Maybe the person you think is a competitor isn't a competitor. Maybe he could be a collaborator.
Exactly. Good point.
Maybe they could be a catalyst.
Yeah.
Maybe you could form a partnership.
Wow. Well said. You never know.
You know, it's that old adage, you know, if you're, you must be built upside down if your feet smell and your nose runs. But the reality is we need to break the mold. And
right.
If you want to get hit, you got to get in the street. You got to get out there. You got to be building relationships. You got to be learning things, how to sell. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn strategy. You need all these things to set yourself up to win. And that's what professional athletes do. They don't try to win a gold medal by themselves. They get help and support. They can't afford it, but they cannot not afford it.
Well said. Well said. And I'm putting this out there. So as we're preparing now to just let you guys know how you can get in contact and how you can connect for this program, I want to speak to all our entrepreneurs out there, all our business owners. If you are not hitting the finances that you want to, you feel like you lifted every rock, you turned every corner, you're trying to figure out what is the next step, take a moment to reach out to Ken. Like Ken always jokes about, the call is free. Call, connect, And just, you know, you never know, just even just from that first conversation, the connection or the relationship that you might be able to establish. But ask the questions, because there are opportunities for you to scale, bringing your business, you know, like from, like we said, from that quarter of a million mark to the half a million mark, or from 100,000 to 250,000, whatever it is possible. Businesses, it's not rocket science. It is about applying certain best practices and certain fundamentals. And sometimes we overlook certain things. You've been in business for so long that it's like you got comfortable in a certain way of operating.
Same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's the common thing. It's insanity.
Mm-hmm. So that, and so we're looking to change that, guys. We're looking to become sane people here. We're looking to stop the insanity. So we want to take a moment. So now, for those who are hearing this initiative, you're hearing about this OFC meet and greet, and you think it's a cool concept to be able to connect with people every week, and not just any kind of people. I'm talking about people from the OFC who share the same values as you. I'm talking honesty, accountability, transparency, who care about the future, who care about themselves, who care about their ancestors, and who care about the planet, and most importantly, who see the value in putting their best foot forward, who are examples of community excellence, or at least who are striving to be. These are the type of people that we're connecting you to. So if you are interested and you want to participate in this initiative, we're inviting you to get in contact with the OFC. So one, you could reach out directly. I always recommend people just contact us on WhatsApp. It's easier. That's 514-651-4545, or you could call that number as well. Again, 514-651-4545. Or specifically for this initiative, if you want to connect with Ken and to find out more, to ask some questions about it, to ask even what's the value of this type of initiative, reach out to Ken. That is Ken.coach.
Ken.coach at ofccommunity.com.
Amazing. So Ken, and again, guys, this initiative, so it actually started this week. As you guys are hearing this, we actually launched it on, I think it was the 30th of July. So it launched this week. So you guys are not late as you're hearing it. You could jump in every week. You'll be getting a new referral, and you'll have the opportunity to connect with them and see how it goes. And it's light and easy, guys. When you get your referrals, you could connect with them via Zoom or in person or even on the phone. Like, it's really, the goal is to make this as easy and accessible for you guys. But the point is to create an opportunity for you to connect with people on a weekly basis. So Ken, before we close out the interview, you know how I like to do every time we have somebody on the show. We're always here to empower our community. So we like to give our guests an opportunity to leave our listeners with some empowering words. Do you have some words, some final words, and some words of empowerment that you'd like to leave for our peoples?
I think the most important thing I can share with you is that each and every one of us is the secret ingredient in our business. You take yourself out of the equation or out of the recipe, and there is no business.
Mm.
So you have to make sure that as that secret ingredient, you are the best at what you do, because that's what makes the recipe so interesting for everyone to do business with you.
Mm. Wow. Well said, Ken. Jeez. Snatch to that. I'll throw in some applause and all that good stuff. Ken, it is a pleasure having you. Like I said, as a part of this community, it's a huge blessing, not just to us, but to the people that you have an opportunity to connect with. You are a plethora of information. Even just last week, we had a conversation briefly. I mentioned some people who needed to connect with an organization that could help them to learn. And not just did you give me the contact, you actually knew the owner of the organization. And I have to say, they've already contacted the organization. I think they're going to be doing some work with them relatively soon. So that is really cool. And again, I thank you for what you're doing for this community. Guys, this has been another awesome episode of Parley with the People. I thank you guys for always tuning in and for supporting the OFC Podcast Radio. Now stay tuned as we take a pause for the cause, and we will be back with Ungrind My Gears. Stay tuned.
Happy Thursday.
Thanks, kid.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Great.
What the facts is going on? Have you ever heard of brain drain?
Brain drain. Well, I know my brain feels drained at the end of the day after too much talking or thinking. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, apparently there can be brain drain that happens in countries. And amongst those countries, Jamaica is one of them. So listen to this.
Jamaica has an interesting problem, and that problem is brain drain. See, Jamaica ranks second worldwide for brain drain, with 36% of the people being born in Jamaica living in another country, like the United States. That's 1.2 million people, specifically the most highly educated people. These are doctors, lawyers, skilled professionals. I mean, bottom line, 85% of tertiary level graduates in Jamaica emigrate. But why are so many people leaving? Basically, because there's better opportunities abroad. The education that you received in Jamaica may get you farther in the United States or the UK. Even Jamaica's capital and largest city, Kingston, lacks opportunities that may be more available elsewhere. This sort of creates a vicious cycle, where all the most highly trained people leave, making it harder to train more people domestically, who themselves will also eventually want to leave. And this is true across many of the Caribbean states. The economic gravity of the United States and the opportunities offered there is so strong that not just Jamaica, but also the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Cuba have had sizable portions of their national population emigrate abroad.
So I found that interesting because I know that, you know, I've heard and have been told and, you know, education in the islands is more advanced than what we do in North America. They start their multiplications before we do and all these things. And then I also recognized and realized that even the education in Quebec in comparison to Ontario, and well, I can only compare it to Ontario. I don't know how it is in the rest of Canada, but I do understand that we follow a more European regime or educational program in Quebec. And when I went to, when I moved to Toronto and I was 14, 15, I can't remember, I was supposed to go into sec two, so grade eight. And when I looked at the curriculum, I was like, I did this in grade six.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not going to your grade eight. So they skipped me into grade nine and they said, well, you know, we're not going to make you do a test. We'll skip you to grade nine. If you succeed, great. Then if you fail, you fail. I was like, cool. Well, let me look at the curriculum for grade nine. And I looked at it. I was just like, right. Well, for your math though, it's too behind. So they had to put me in grade nine, but grade 10 math. Like, that's Ontario. A discrepancy that there was between Ontario's program and Quebec's program, which I found wild. So you can only imagine what that looks like in a place like the US where you can get good education. And of course, when you have private education, it is a different curriculum in and of itself. But when you are redlined into certain spaces, it's even harder, it's worse and all these things. But to go back to the brain drain that's happening in these countries, I mean, I was not born in the Caribbean, so I'm not going to act like there's a responsibility to go back to rebuilding your home. And I'm not going to lie, knowing how well this education is back home, like I'd want to send my children out there to learn and then come back. But like, if you do that, is there a duty and or an expectation of, like, you know, coming back and enriching the home that gave you the education to be able to go and succeed elsewhere?
Hold on, just make sure I understand what you're saying. So are you saying, so as Canadians of Caribbean descent, or are you saying if we are born, let's say we're born in the Caribbean and then you
if I was born and raised there and got my education there and recognized that I had better opportunities, better professional opportunities elsewhere, like, I don't want to come back and build back opportunities in my island, you know? And maybe people have tried.
I think what you're saying is an awesome point. I don't know if that's the norm, but again, I think that's a conversation worth having. And I would want to add to that conversation and to say those who are within North America who have parents of Caribbean descent Caribbean descent, I think we also have a responsibility to see what is our parents' investment back home, so to speak. How can we ensure that there's still a connection back to our call it our native land, so to speak. Although, yes, we are native to Canada, but I think there's a value in holding on to a certain level of our ancestry or our roots in the Caribbean. And there's a lot of us, especially our age group, where we're still looking at our parents like, hey, you guys need to do some of your property back in the Caribbean. But at the end of the day, it's like they're looking at us like, hey, you guys are adults now. You have grades, you have children. If you guys want to take this over, you can. If not, I'm just going to sell it because it's like, I don't necessarily think you guys are that interested. So it's like, so anyway, so all to say, not to go down this rabbit hole too deep, but I think it's a great topic, you know, like in terms of people coming from the Caribbean. I definitely think they should be going back home and building. And I think those from the diaspora should be going back home and building.
Yeah, cause I understand that by definition, living on an island is more expensive because you just, you know, you don't have the same access as when you have like mainland and what's grown there and whatnot. But don't get me wrong, the Caribbean is rich with natural resources, but this is 2024 and you know, this is the era of wanting more. But to that same point too, if we don't go back and don't enrich this, even this whole phenomena, when they're calling it a brain drain, the whole point of saying drain, if you don't plug the hole, you know, it's everything will drain out. So,
but you know, funny, I can say that on that same topic, I think if we are looking at the Caribbean for what it's worth, we've been kind of tricked into thinking like, you know, North America is so amazing. Because when you go back and you're able to actually spend time and you slow down a little bit, right? And that's I think the contrast is that mm-hmm. we're so used to living in a certain fast pace. Maybe mind those who have the opportunity to maybe go out to a cottage, go out to a retreat, and they understand the country living. But for the most part, everybody who's living in the city, we're living at a certain pace that we've gotten accustomed to, but not to say that that is to our betterment, right? We've just gotten accustomed to just doing things at a certain pace. So it's like there is such a joy and a beauty when you do have the opportunity to go back and actually adopt the Caribbean lifestyle, so to speak, where you could actually slow down and appreciate life and smell the roses. And then you actually, those who do have that opportunity, you could understand why they would choose to live in, you know, North America, maybe come back to, choose to live in the Caribbean, come back and do work in North America because it's where the industry is. But for your life and for your livelihood and just for your peace of mind, you know, being able to go back home, so to speak, you know, there's so many benefits to it.
Well, and to that point, I think we spoke about this a few months back, and there was, especially when we're talking about the economy in Canada and the whole idea where a lot of people come from the Caribbean coming to North America thinking that, you know, there's this whole American dream and that they made it. And when they get here, you're just like, damn, it's ghetto. I got to work 2-3 jobs to be able to keep this matchbox. It's like, I say that because a lot of the Caribbeans are in New York and Toronto and Miami. And I mean, Montreal's getting on that expensive train too, but like you get matchsticks in New York for what you pay. What you can have like a mansion back home with, and you know, and the cost of living is high, and like, you know, you got to work these 2-3 jobs to buy food that you could have grown back home. Can you imagine you're here out here buying mango when you're just like, man, I could have just walked on the road and like, you know, take a piece of mango or take a piece of fruit when I'm paying $5 for one singular mango now.
You're talking fact. Yep.
But. Yeah. And to that point, and in contrast, so when they talked about brain drain, I also came across this next post. This is not necessarily into facts, so I think this is kind of going into like social media gone wild, if you will. But someone was responding back to a prompt where someone had said, lower your IQ so you stop thinking and you just do things. And so this is what he had to say about that.
I know the point of this comment was to be funny, but this is actually good advice if you think about it. I can't remember the name of the content creator, but I saw him make a video about how a couple of months ago he was in a group of people and they were all millionaires and he realized that a lot of them were actually stupid and it pissed him off. And then he realized they're so dumb, they didn't really think about a plan. They just started trying things. Because a smart person, whether they're trying to get fit or build their business, they will sit and they will analyze and try to build the perfect formula or plan. And they may dwell on it for 3 months or 6 months, but never actually take action because they're just thinking, which creates paralysis by analysis, which is where you basically think and formulate so much that you end up doing nothing. Meanwhile, the last 3 to 6 months, you've been writing down things in your notebook, but not actually trying anything, and the dumb person's been trying things. And so now they have 3 or 6 months of practical action, and now they know what works, what doesn't. Not only that, but when something doesn't work, they're dumb, so they don't get discouraged. They just go, okay, on to the next thing. And then they either get ripped because they went to the gym and just started trying different workouts and trying different diet approaches, or they just built their business by trying to make content, trying to see what works, and then eventually something does. So if you're trying to get ripped, you're trying to build a business, just try shit. It doesn't have to be perfect. This was the biggest lesson I have learned since starting my own business in a year. I just started putting videos out there, trying new products. Some of it didn't work, some of it did, but I never would have known had I not tried.
Have you had analysis paralysis?
Me, no. I'm like, I love what you're saying. Like, that's something I really try to encourage a lot of people to do. Like, it's there's a certain value in you know, like crossing your T's and dotting your I's, but there's so much more value in the practical, right? Like being able to apply. So I always commend those who you know, want to do the theoretical part and map out all the variables and all the what could be's and different things. But it, like the real strength is in the practical. When you actually just do it, you get the bumps, get the scrapes. It doesn't work. It does work, but you now have experience that no one else can take from you.
So this was interesting because I recognized multiple points in what he says. This one reminded me of as a recruiter, I've been doing it for over 16 years. I've seen a lot of different things and came across a lot of different people. But one of the things that used to make me laugh a lot when I was in my earlier years or midway through my career, you'd have people graduating with their master's and PhDs. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. You put in the work to gain that, and that is great and important, or they get an MBA. But all you did was study theory, and then you got an MBA, and now you're just like, and they would come out of school and be like, I'm like, well, what are your salary expectations? And they would tell me $100,000. And maybe $100,000 today, depending on the role and what you got your master's in, might be aligned. But like I said, this was earlier in my career, midway through, and I said I've been doing this for 16 years. It was absolutely laughable. And it wasn't to discourage them, because I think it's a great thing to do your master's, but it doesn't replace experience. And the ones who came and, you know, tried it, worked on it, may have made mistakes, built it on, and then became experts. They're like, they earned what they earned without having necessarily get their master's. But what you do is you get that experience, and then you can go back and get your master's and or your PhDs, depending on what you're doing and what, and if it brings value to the work that you do, and then you can go command more. Being true, especially when you're working in the public sector, because they still hold that at a very high regard, which they should, because they're the business of education, you know, they have to show that it has a purpose and a reason.
Yeah.
But
at the end of the day, it is a big, like, you're hitting it on the head. Just how many people graduate from university, from college, and can't get a job. And at the end of the day, it comes back down to the relationship, who you know and who knows you. So that's why, you know, it's like, you know, we strongly encourage education. We encourage higher education. But at the end of the day, we that's why the things like the OFC community exists, so that we can establish relationships, introduce you to that executive, introduce you to that, you know, head of the hiring department, introduce you to that HR representative, so that when it is time, then they see your resume. It's not just about who you know, it's about who also knows you. And there you go, because that's literally how things operate.
Right. And again, like I said, it resonated at multiple points for me too, because I too have had analysis paralysis. I have been that person to, okay, write everything now, plan it out. And okay, this is the plan to do. And then you put it up on the fridge, or you put it up on your window. And it's just like, okay, Monday, Tuesday, like the whole calendar. And ask me if I even do it at 25% of whatever I just built all that that work for.
Yeah. It's like you just had, it was just all about the exercise of setting it up. It was like
setting it up. And then even more so, the other thing is when you, and I do believe in preparedness. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you like YOLO, go do things, like everything has to be, you know, on the fly. But a lot of times what you prepare for and what you practice for, when you get into that real life scenario and situation, You cannot necessarily prepare for every single scenario that can happen, and life can change on the moment. So, it's also not being too fixed into that mindset that you need a certain level of flexibility.
Yeah, and that's what you got to know, especially in business, Lord.
Absolutely. And so so the poster, which was Higher Up Wellness, writes in his post, stop thinking, start doing. The biggest lesson I've learned since starting my own business that applies everywhere is to stop thinking so much and just start trying things. And so, this is, I guess, that PSA moment of encouragement of really going out and like just try. And it's like, let's put all the other cliches in there, like fake it till you make it, whatever that may be. But Jordan became Jordan because he practiced. Kobe became Kobe because he practiced. There's certain things that, yes, you have innate, and there's certain things that you have just a natural sense in, but there's other things that you could just put in work and put in the hours, and eventually you will be an expert in what you do. And it doesn't have to be the same route that other people do, that other people take to get there too. C'est ça. Et puis the Olympics started. Following.
It's in Paris, right?
It is in Paris. Yeah.
So I heard this thing. Let me think back. What was I listening to? I can't remember. It was a comedy skit, Joshua something. And he was talking about how they're giving out condoms or something in the village, in Olympic Village, where
Yes.
it's a first because they normally prohibit sex. Like they usually prohibit, but this time they're going hard in the paint. And to me, I think it's a trap. It's like, yo, because like you do not want to be like fornicating like that, especially if you're out there for the Olympics. You want to actually be retaining that energy. Like yeah, you know, when we're talking about brain power, like it's so funny because when you started talking about the brain stuff before, I didn't think it was about us losing stuff like that. I actually literally thought it was us losing brain power physically. And then like my mind went down to this thing I listened to from our boy Joe Palooza, D'Souza, where he's talking about seminal retention. So it's like, you know, it, like before you like when you're going through intercourse before you ejaculate, like you technically it's kind of like you hold, but you don't hold to stop the energy. You actually hold and redirect the energy to your brain, which is crazy. Like and it's not just it's like the interjaculation, I guess it's called, is one aspect, but then there's like everything, even from retaining a sneeze, there's all kind of things where you could actually redirect your energy. Well, okay, I said the sneeze with that, you might want to be careful, but anyway, the whole point is there's just ways of charging up your brain. So all that to say, coming full circle, unless they're out there and you know practicing re interjaculating, if all these people are out there just fornicating and just releasing their semen left, right, and center, it's going to be a pretty lapsy Olympics. And unless, and maybe it's a trick of France, maybe they already told all the French people, yo, we're going to promote this, but you guys don't fall for it. Just you guys stay strong, stay hard, no pun intended,
Oh my
but
gosh, I can't.
don't let it happen. And you know, and then everybody else let them do it. So then they're all weak and we just pummel them.
So
What? Too much?
don't
Too
know if
much?
there was a correlation. No, because what I was going to get into had absolutely nothing to do with that. But now that you said that, and that one, because I wanted to kind of talk about the current rankings of medals, and if you're saying, for those who are out there just, having fornication parties.
Having Olympic standard sex parties, because that's like, yo, that's probably the best sex parties you'll ever be in your life. Like, because these people are super in shape. So that's next
But I did
thing. Like,
see I did see I did I did read that they were saying like everyone's just sleeping together. But knowing the social constructs that occur in Japan, and or how I remember reading a few years back that they were saying that they were worried about like they were one they're worried about an aging population, because they're saying people aren't dating anymore and people are too anxious to have to even talk to the other sex. And so when you say that, and then here I am about to present, you know, Japan right now is in first place.
Aha!
Gold medals.
Exactly, correlation.
You know, so they're in first place, 12 medals in total, but six gold. France is in second place. They have 16 medals, but 5 gold.
Yo, meanwhile, every other country with their lapsy slackness or lose all their number one in bed, number three on the court, number four. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Well, to that point, 1 through 10 right now, and these rankings are based on first, obviously, how many gold medals to silver to bronze that you have, and then, you know, ultimately you have all your full number. But Japan, France, China, Australia, South Korea in fifth, U.S., Great Britain, Italy, Canada in 9th, and Hong Kong in 10th. This is so far where we are.
Yeah, are those numbers making sense, or my theory is making more sense than anything? Not a sex city out there. I'm sorry. I gotta go down this rabbit hole a little bit more. Like, I feel sorry for the husbands and boyfriends and girlfriends back home, because they're probably like, "Yo, be faithful to me," eh? And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, for sure." And then you have like this Olympic, like, beauty throwing herself at you because it's sex season now. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I also wonder if they're all in relationships too, because I do think that when you're in the Olympics, there's a lot of attention to doing that. And, you know, unless you're with a partner who really understands what it is to be so dedicated to all that training and putting so many hours, and maybe they are dating another Olympian too, for all we know. There's a lot that goes into that. And there's a lot of investment that goes into Olympians too. And so depending on the country that you're representing, you know, you better represent proper. So,
truth. Oh my gosh! So now you mean to tell me none of them are single too?
Okay, all right. Well, let's move it along here.
Yeah, I hope Puffy's not here filming behind the scenes. I hope there's no cameras, no Puffy, no Diddy. I hope there's no cameras.
Speaking of cameras, okay. And I just want to know, because I know, as you guys know, we pre-record this. So these are the rankings as of July 29th, and the Olympics started at July 26th. So of course that the ranking may change by the time this is played. But speaking of recordings, Canada's women's national soccer team head coach Bev Prisman had been removed from the Olympic team due to drone spying scandal. At the Canadian Olympic Committee announced Thursday. So she used a drone to spy on the other teams, like practice and stuff. And
first of all, where's the evidence? I need all the evidence. How do we know? Well, was there a Canadian flag on it? So what, every drone is Canadian drone? How do we know there's?
Maybe someone spotted it and waited to see where it was gonna go and saw that it went right into her hand.
A drone spying on a drone. Damn.
I wonder if you can like ping the IP address of what the drone. What if they caught the drone and then ping the IP address and found it went to her?
Yo, the point is, shame on us. Shame on us. What is going on with us? We're catching it. Huh?
I said, that ain't got nothing to do with us. That's a her thing. Shame on her.
Was it not Canada? She wasn't representing Canada?
She's the coach for the Canadian team. She's not. Like, I mean, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
I'm sorry, Gina. I'm sorry, all right? My red and white stripes. What red and white stripes? Anyways, my old Canada is saying that, look, if she's representing the Canadian team, she's representing for all of us. So shame on us. Shame on us.
Well,
continue.
As I mentioned, it does pay to play sometimes, depending on who you're playing for. So when we talked about winning gold medals for those Olympians, that can mean something pretty great for them to hold them back home. So for every medal that you win, certain countries give you a payout. France, if you win gold, they'll give you 71,200. Silver, 27,000. 400, bronze 16,400. In Singapore, if you win a gold medal, you get $737,000. A silver medal is 3,600, 3,068. Okay. $368,000. If you get a bronze medal, it's $184,000. I wonder where is Singapore. Singapore is not, I didn't even see them in the ranking.
That's what I was just waiting for you to finish. I'm like, no wonder. They can promise you $1 million. Yo, they're not making it onto the podium no how.
Okay, Jesus. The Olympics just started. Let's give them a chance. And Singapore is a very small country, let me say. Spain, for the gold medal, it's 102,900. For silver medal, it's 52,600. And for a bronze, it's 32,900. For the U.S., a gold is 37,500.
I'm like 3,700.
Well, may as well be. But compared to that 737 from Singapore. But the U.S. is like, we tend to win a lot of medals and we're not trying to pay you out no money like that. Silver's 22,500 and bronze is 15,000. Italy, if you get a gold medal, it's 197,100. Silver, 98,500. And a bronze is 65,700. And let me see if Italy's on the map so far. Italy's on the map so far. They're eighth. I did remember saying that. And they have 8 medals. So somebody getting paid. Mm. All right, Italy. Germany, gold. So I'll just say gold, silver, bronze. 21,900, 16,400, and 10,950. Taiwan, $716,000 for gold, $250,000 for silver, $179,000 for bronze. Norway is $0 for any of those medals. They're not paying you.
Wow. They actually put that?
Yeah, they said no monies. Morocco, $220,000, $137,000, $82,000. And Kazakhstan, they don't give you money, but if you win a gold, you get a three-bedroom apartment, a three-room apartment. If you get silver, you get a two-room apartment. If you get bronze, you get a one-room apartment.
Are you kidding me?
I think that might be the better bet.
I think not. Okay.
If you're owning a home, they're giving you real estate. I mean, okay.
You said an apartment? Okay. You said, when you said apartment, I'm thinking rental. All right. So that's right. I'm like, apartment for how long?
Oh, okay. Oh, for the year? It's like, well, you only won this year. So you
saying. I'm like, how is that lit? You didn't tell me I own it. You didn't get a condo. You said, here's your apartment. Here's your keys and your lease.
Yeah, but the term apartment, depending on where you are, like you know, they'll say flat in Britain and you think it's a flat is apartment, but you can also own your apartment. And here too, like sometimes condo and apartment is used interchangeably. But so depending, yeah. You're right. Depending if that's just like a 1 year lease in one or the other, it's not great. But if you're saying I'm providing you this real estate for it, you know, I understand that things probably don't cost the same in Kazakhstan as they do here in Canada, but everything is relative. And if I would get a one to three bedroom owned apartment in Canada, that's better than the payout.
Yeah, you're winning. But yeah. As you say that, what was the payout for Canada? Did you?
Canada wasn't on this list.
Whoa, Canada gives you 0-2, eh? You see that? That's why Canadian. Anyways, oh, Canada, our home and broke up land.
You know what?
Yo, right now, we're not winning right now. Between Drake getting disrespected left, right, and center. Between our Olympics.
Okay, wait. So the COC says that Canadians with performance awards of $20,000, $15,000, and $10,000 respectively for winning gold, silver, or bronze medals. I think they were probably not on that list because it's so...
It's embarrassing. You might as well not put it on the list.
I get Norway was on the list because Norway is like zero, but at some point you're just like, well, I kind of respect the thing where they're just like, nah, you're just representing your country, that's it. Versus like, here's this local 10,000. Now, in fairness too, this will go back to the States. I don't know if, because I know in Canada, when you have winnings, you don't have to pay taxes, but in the US you do. So... That's in your pocket, so I don't know. All right. One last thing before we get into trivia. Are you a person? Do you like? Do you how do you call that? What's that called again? Do you food prep and or free
What's
food?
that?
Like, well, like on a Sunday, you'll start food prepping for the week and you start making like food in bulk and then you'll freeze stuff or you'll have things for the week and whatnot.
No, aside from my phobia of running out of food, so always walking with a lot of snacks, I don't do much else in that regard.
Well, I don't think people are cleaning out their fridges often enough, and let alone they're not cleaning out their freezers often enough, because there is a shelf life, or a freezer life, if you will, of your food. And most of it is really anywhere between 6 months to a year tops.
Oh,
So
wow.
2 to 3 months for casseroles, soups. 2 to 3 months cheesecake. I didn't really freeze cheesecake. Bread.
Oh, you see, this is good to know because then it's like we should start dating things. Because I normally just do the freezer burn taste test.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
And
well, you
then and
know.
it's disgusting, and then it's also like it's annoying because then you just cooked everything, you thought you're about to have a meal and it's frozen, it's freezer burnt. Pie is 1 to 2 months, cheese is 6 months. Uncooked bacon is a month, ground beef 4 months, cooked steak 6 to 12 months, uncooked pork chops 4 to 6 months, cooked chicken pieces 4 months. I know all y'all be eating a lot of chicken out there. That you got 4 months for that chicken. Uncooked chicken's 9 months. I know there was chicken in that freezer a lot longer than 9 months when I grew up. Cooked fish 4 to 6 months. A whole chicken or turkey is 12 months. Ice cream is 2 months.
Well,
I've
ice
had ice
cream,
cream.
if you have ice cream lasting that long, you shouldn't be eating it.
I've had ice cream that lasted over 2 months, I'm not gonna lie.
Stop it.
Weird out though. And baked cookies, 6 to 12 months. So just pay attention to the shelf life of your foods. Just because it's in the freezer does not mean it lasts forever, freezer burnt or not. I'm just saying. Okay, I have 8 trivia questions. I mean, it's just you and me here, so you're playing against yourself and the listeners. I hope you get some fun out of this. We're still doing Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Nice.
And you did pretty well last week, so kudos to you on that. So high hopes for you this week. Question number one. What are the large rocks that orbit the sun between Mars and Jupiter called?
Large rocks orbit the sun between Mars and Jupiter. You mean not the planet?
Not
Or
the
are you talking
planet.
about the planet?
The rocks that are orbiting the sun between those planets.
Asteroids?
They're asteroids. Yes, they are.
Thank you.
What is the plural form of the word deer? The animal.
Okay, Doe is a female there.
Ray is a drop of golden sun.
Okay, me, a name I call myself.
Fa is a long, long way to run.
So, needle and thread.
No, it's T.
Oh.
Wait, don't read me fast. So, no, you're right. So, yep.
Anyways,
You're right.
you threw me off. What's the question, Gina? You got me distracted now.
What's the plural form of the word deer? Do you give up?
Hold on. No, I feel like I know this. It's not. No. Could it be done? Is it possible? Hi.
A don? A don is also a female
There? Okay.
of deer.
Fun?
So
Fun? Anyways, go ahead.
the plural of deer is deer. Question number three. How many
It's so because I was like, I thought it was deer. That's the best part.
Well, you see,
That's a good one.
but that's
I
why you
like
got to go
that.
with the gut. Go with the gut.
Yeah.
So, question number three, how many inches are in a foot?
12.
How many adjectives are in this sentence? Billy made a rude noise in class.
One.
What was the adjective?
Rude.
Yes. Okay, look at you, homeschooler.
Well, that I was like, okay, come on. Come on. Nah. When I, now I realize that they can be that easy because that deer one, that's still, because I was like, but I really thought it was deer. I was like, I thought, okay.
Well, is that analysis paralysis going on?
Yeah, overthinking. I went back to that one again. I'm like, really? What's deer?
Yeah. What landmass on Earth is known as the island continent?
Island continent would be Asia.
Would you like a hint?
Yeah.
Good day, mate.
Oh, like that's down under. That's Australia.
Australia.
But it's funny. You said Australia. Australia's a continent.
Australia is absolutely a continent. Yep.
Okay. Sorry,
guys. Asia is not an island, but okay. How many syllables are in the word Mississippi?
Four.
Yep. Miss, sis, sit. what are the three states of matter?
Solid, gas, liquid.
Yes, it is. And last question.
Homeschooling. Bah, 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 bah.
Bang, bang, bang. What whole number is closest to the square root of 65?
What whole number is closest to the square root of 65? 8?
It is 8. Because why?
I just said 8 times 8 is 64.
That is correct answer. That is closest to the number 65. Whereas the square root of 81 would have been 9. And the next whole number from 8 would have been 9. But that would have been too far from the 65.
What? Homeschooling. So those who want to find out more about participating in my homeschooling network, sorry, is this not an OFC infomercial throughout the whole show?
Really, I feel like it's as if no matter what I say, you're like, oh, shameless plug. Oh, yeah, shameless plug.
No, Adina, could you say so many things that are just in line with the awesomeness of what this community is about? It makes it just, mm-hmm. We're not doing it on purpose. It's just you're saying things. I was just like, you know what?
Right. Just in case you guys now, are now I need an affiliate sales commission or something.
You see, I like that, Gina. Anybody who signs up and uses promo code Gina the Great as a long ass promo code. Just say you came because of Gina. You're getting a discount. All right, Gina, thanks for that.
All right, so that's Gina JeenaGrait. So just so you know, it's spelled E-N-A. So on that note, you know, I grind, you grind. And, you know, sometimes we need to just ungrind together. So that's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. We'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, and the Caribbean Curry House. Do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, I actually have a huge shout out to Huey Dylan Kwame Rouse, who celebrated his birthday on July 21st. Now, we hadn't had a recording then, so I do, you know, want to go back and give it that past shout out. So shout out, Huey. Hey,
Happy birthday, Huey.
I'm handling a thing. So that's really what it is. And again, I just thank the community for just your continual support and just reminding them, as you are developing as a business owner, you have questions, we have answers, and it is our pleasure to help. If you're looking to scale your business and you want to connect with more individuals who want to purchase and support your business, because you are committed to your excellence, and you are committed to offering awesome customer service and quality products, come to the OFC. And last but very far from least, if you understand the power that you have as a consumer and you want to be intentional about where you spend your money, and you want to spend your money in a community that is forward-thinking and is thinking about your future generation, reach out to the OFC because this is what we're doing all day, all day.
Awesome. So my shout out is to us, who will be taking a nice little summer break. We're going to be taking August off. So this is going to be the last recording that you guys hear until we get back in September. And given that we will be off, I would like to go ahead and give my shout outs to the August birthdays, being Naz, Job, Jojo, and Dad. So happy pre-birthday to y'all. Also, a super big shout out to Jawan and Courtney. So by the time this plays, I will be on my way to a wedding. So shout out to them. And also, pre shout out, because you never do know when they're really gonna come, but I do have a nephew on their way in August. So shout out to Key and future baby Sylvan is the name that she chose, who should be here actually technically on my dad's birthday, but we shall see when he does come.
Nice, shout out Sylvan. Yo, and as you said, how can I forget that we had the birthday, my grandson's birthday that just recently passed. Shout out to big man Damien. Shout out to Adonijah and family. Oh my goodness, how could I almost forget? He's a little cutie, juku, beautiful little cute guy. So anyways, I'm a proud grandfather. I guess I'm a god grand. This is dope. So it's really cool.
Are you using grandpa or are you using papa?
I kind of want to go with the energy when we get there.
That's fair. It's hard.
Yeah, because it's like, I feel like it should be organic. I you know, like, Shy already coined herself as GG, godmother grand, you know what I mean? So she's GG, but me, I'm not sure yet. Me, I'm not sure what I want. Well, like I said, we'll go with the energy.
That's true. I mean, again, like, yeah, are you like Papa G, Godfather Papa? I don't know.
Exactly.
And it's like little mafia territory there, and it just doesn't make much sense.
That's it. And it's like Papa Pop. I didn't, you know, do I bring my Papa? Do I become Papa? All of a sudden, Papa. Oh,
but I mean, Papa. Like,
we'll see.
Grandfathers are Papa. Like, I mean, my dad's Papa to my nieces and nephews, and you know. Papa was Papa to us, although
right, it doesn't make sense.
Call him Papa because our parents call him Papa, but he was great, great Papa.
I don't think anybody cares, Gina. So we'll wrap up the show. Thanks to everybody. The peace and love and blessings, and we'll be back in September. Peace and blessings, everyone.
On behalf of the OFC Podcast Radio Show, the producers would like to express their deepest apologies to those who agreed to last week's roundtable discussion and had many points to voice. Unfortunately, due to the segment time restraints, sections of the recording were cut short or entirely omitted. Additionally, our apologies go out to those who agreed to sit down for a public recording and were not aware that it was to be aired. The request was made to remove the episode. Unfortunately, such requests came after the first of the two-part segment series was scheduled to air the following morning. It is with this reason that the producers of the show have decided not to air the second part of the series. Again, our deepest apologies to the listeners and any guest panel members this may have affected.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.